Morning. It's good to be able to be with you this morning. We have a lot of people visiting, and we want to welcome you and let you know that you're our special guest. We appreciate you being with us today. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different than what I normally do. I'm going to share with you a little bit of information about the trip that I just got back from a couple of weeks ago in Brazil. I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I went and then tell you about a couple of situations there, and then kind of close with a couple of points of application for you to share with you. So I appreciate the brethren here who allowed me to go and spend 3 weeks in another place, and it was encouraging to me, and I know that you I wanted to share with you what happened while I was there. Brazil is an enormous country. I've read it's the fifth largest country in the world. In size, there's 170 million people. It's actually larger than the continental United States. I've learned that Brazil is mostly Catholic. There's about 70% that are born into that religion. Maybe 25% are Pentecostal, and many of the people that we study with are of that background. You can see the map and the cities that I have listed on the left side of the page, while they may not mean a lot to you. Identify a lot of the cities along the coastal side, on the Atlantic side of the continent there, where the gospel has been spread in Brazil. About 78% of the people in this country live in cities. It's very urbanized. People think that Brazil is the Amazon, but you might notice that the Amazon is really just one state up in the northwest part of the country. A lot of doors have opened over the last 3 years just since we have been gone, and largely as a result of a website that we have now called Estudos Biblicos, and because of bulletins that are sent out. Probably there's over 14,000 hits per day on that website now, though not they don't stay on it long, all of them, but 14,000 hits per day, and over 20,000 bulletins are sent out per month into the nation of Brazil. And it's a picture of Dennis Allen teaching in a downtown hotel in São Paulo. A lot of doors are opening in this country, and a lot of opportunities there. When I went, this is just sort of my itinerary. I'll run through it really quick. I arrived on May 27th at in São Paulo, and Dennis Allen took me to a bus terminal where I picked up a bus and went about 3.5 hours northwest into I landed here and went about 3.5 hours northwest into a small town called São Carlos, where I stayed for about 3 or 4 days, and then worked with a small church there. May the 31st, I came back to São Paulo by bus and spent time in two different neighborhoods in the state of São Paulo here down in the city, one Guarapiranga and the other Jardim San Bernardo, where there's a couple of churches and some families there that I worked with. June the 3rd through the 7th, I picked up a plane in São Paulo and went up to Salvador and then back down to a town called Ilhéus, where I took a bus for about 4.5 hours into the interior of the state of Bahia right here, and where there's a church of about 20 or 30 in a little town called Jequié. And I'll tell you a little bit about particulars in these towns in a moment. I stayed there for about 4 days and then flew back to São Paulo, where I worked among three groups, three different neighborhoods, again, Guarapiranga, Jardim San Bernardo, and Vargem Grande. And then on the 13th of June, I went north of São Paulo about 2.5 hours north up here to another small town called Mogi Mirim, where I spent the day with the brethren in a church there, and then returned back to São Paulo that night late, and then spent 3 more days in the city of São Paulo before I left on the 16th. So, a lot of running. I think I lost maybe 10 pounds in the midst of all that. But I want to tell you specifically about a couple of people there that I want you to know that would be encouraging to you. The man at the top, his name is Paulo Marques. Now, this is in the city of São Carlos, the first place I went, where there's about 20 different members. Paulo Marques and Isabel are he's one of four full-time evangelists in Brazil. He is really a good man. He actually, he and his wife were teachers in the Catholic Church. And were converted back around 1993 and 94, and they began attending a church in Parque San Antonio in São Paulo. And he just began talking to his neighbors. He began studying with people in his neighborhood just on his own as a Christian. And in time, after a period of time, he converted two or three of those couples. And he kind of just started a church in his own garage, began meeting with those three couples that he converted. And he was out of work at the time, and as he began looking for a job, the church there at Parque San Antonio where he was asked him if he wouldn't mind just continuing to do the same thing. Would he keep doing what he's doing if they would be willing to support him? And so he agreed to do that, and he continued to study in with the people in the church where he was at in his garage for two or three years. And then eventually one of those couples was from a little town called Floresta, which is about 6 hours west of São Paulo, and they moved back there. And so he went out to that city with them to look at the situation and try to be an encouragement as they moved out there. In fact, it was a very small town. And he scheduled to have Bible studies when he went out there with them, and he was shocked because over 40 people came to the studies. Didn't expect it, but a lot of people came to the studies. And so he made some contacts, and he went back once every the next two or three months. And on the third month he went back, he converted a couple. They were living together, had a little girl, but in time they learned and they were married. And he had this situation on his hands, and he thought, you know, what am I going to do? And so he decided to move out to Floresta, and he with his wife and his boys. And they lived out there for 2 years, and he taught about everybody in town. So if you talk to Paulo, what he does is he would just if you go with him to a town, is what happened to me when I went to San Carlos. Every time I go, we just walk around town all day. Every day we're there, and we just go to the houses of the contacts that he's made, and we talk to these people. And he's not a person who impresses you. He's a very low key person, but he always comes back. And before it's over, he will end up teaching you the gospel in a very low key and gentle way. He's a very kind man. And so he stayed in Floresta for a couple of years and taught about everybody in town. There only turned out to be about six Christians there. They were all sugarcane workers. But as time went on, he found out that really the reason people were so interested in him was because he was kind of a guy from the big city. He was not a big-name guy, but it was from the big city of São Paulo, and they wanted to know him. So he decided to go back to São Paulo. He left and went back there and lived there a couple more years, working with the same church he was in. And then his wife, Isabel, around 2003, while we were there, or 2004 when we were there, she started talking about her family who lived up in São Carlos, this other city that was about three and a half hours north of São Paulo. She had a brother there, and she has relatives, and she had and that city is predicted to double in size in the next 5 years. It's like the Silicon Valley, I guess, of Brazil. Lots of technology there, lots of industry, Volkswagen, Faber-Castell, Electrolux, lots of industry. And so it's a kind of a growing town. So they moved there around 2005, and he just started doing there what he did in São Paulo. And as time has went on, there's been a few conversions, and there's about 20 people in that church now. And the picture at the bottom on the left is, well, I wish it wasn't quite as blurry, but there's a couple of visitors that were there the weekend that I was there. This fellow over here is the one that I'm most interested in. His name is Roberto, and he's a neighbor. And Isabel had been teaching his wife how to crochet and spending time with her. And so they took me down, and I met her and happened to meet him. And we spent a lot of time together over the next two or three days and just talked. And he came to the studies. And as I understand it from an email I got the other day, he's continuing to study with Paulo and coming to the study. So maybe, Lord willing, he might become a Christian one day. But this church is, Paulo is a neat guy. He's always busy. He gets down sometime because things don't happen really fast. This town is a little more affluent. It's a little more successful. People are more peaceful, at peace in this town, and secure with their jobs. So they don't have as much interest in the gospel as in some other towns. So it's a more of a slow progress, a work in progress, I guess you would say. And I have one other picture, the same family here up in the top left, Paolo and his sons. He actually has three kids, and the boy in the orange shirt is a boy who came from Florida Rica to live with them, Adiaji, and his two oldest boys, actually all three of his boys are Christians now. That's a little bit outdated. I didn't do too well with the pictures while I was there. I only remembered after I left to take pictures, so I had to import some old pictures. And his boys teach in the church there now. And this other family down on the bottom, that's Justino and Hauza, and they are what I call the Priscilla and Aquila down there. They moved recently to San Carlos the last 2 years ago because things were very difficult. Paolo was struggling, the work was slow, and they thought they could be of help. So he quit his job, and they moved to that city and found work there. So they're a very encouraging family. And Paolo always does a good job, whatever churches he's in, whatever he doesn't dominate the churches. They always do well when he leaves them. When people are converted, he keeps working with them until the point where they can teach and they can preach themselves and study with other people. And then he sort of just fades into the background and goes about his business, doing what he usually does, teaching others and converting more people. He's not a person who looks for attention or for others to look up for him. He just wants to serve the Lord. But good church, excellent little group there in that city. This is actually where they came from, down in São Paulo. This is Guadipiranga, which is where I went immediately when I came back to São Paulo on the first and second. This is the street where the church is actually the top building up there in that town, or on the street, this top building over here. And it's where the church meets up in that top level. And that's the church in Guadipiranga. And those two families that I just talked about, they moved to San Carlos from this little town, or from this neighborhood. Very difficult place. This is some of the families there that are there now. Excellent families. But it's a very... The reason I wanted to share this place with you for a moment is because of a young boy that's a part of this family here. His name is Nicholas, and I couldn't get him in the picture. So this is Mauro and Maria and Gabriel. So there's Mauro's down there as well. And Nicholas is a good boy. He's about 17, 18 years old, but he's fallen away. Been fallen away for about a year now. The street where he lives is just full of drugs and prostitution and gang violence. And I'm not sure how much of it he's been involved in, but he's at least got swept up in some of the challenges of living in that neighborhood. And he and I spent a good bit of time together that day, walking through the neighborhood, talking and praying and studying the Bible together. We had a Bible study, and hopefully he'll repent and go back. I don't know. He hadn't by the time I left. But this is a family that's really encouraging. Luis is the older, the dad, and the younger boy is William, and he has now become a Christian, and he's teaching in that congregation, teaching class on Wednesday night, the adult class. And so it's a good congregation. I don't have time to talk about everybody. This family up here was converted back in 94. They were one of the first converts whenever they happened to be in the neighborhood living next door to Dennis Allen and Gary Fisher, who moved down there in 1994 or 1993. And so that's one of the first families to be converted in Brazil. So I spent a couple of days there, and then I went downtown quickly to the church to visit with Pedro, my friend who works in the center of São Paulo. He works in the downtown district, and so we usually would have a Monday study, and so there I went there on the second. And then on the third through the seventh, I flew up to Bahia. I mentioned that earlier, a little city in the interior of the state of Bahia. It's a Jequié, and that's about 27 hours north of São Paulo by bus. There's about 160,000 residents in that city. And that church there began in about 1998, 2 years before my first visit in 2000. And the first converts were Marcos and Kacha, who are here. And he was a Baptist and had somehow gotten hold of a bulletin that had ended up in that town We don't know how. And he studied and thought about it and learned a little bit about baptism and through that bulletin, things that conflicted with what he had learned in the Baptist church. And he wrote and he got that, began receiving the bulletins and studied and called Dennis Allen and talked to him about some questions. And the next thing you know, Dennis had flown up there to that little city and booked a hotel room because of the interest that was being shown by this couple, and did some studies on a weekend up there. And as a result, these two people were baptized, and the lady to the immediate right of Kachin was baptized, Hita and her husband Claudio. And I met them in the year 2000. I went up on my first visit. All these kids were probably ages 9 and 10 at that time. So this visit, when I returned, was kind of a reacquaintance visit, because they're all 19 and 20, and they hardly knew me, and I hardly knew them. But it was encouraging to see that these kids had grown up, and they're all, most all of them there are Christians, and faithful, and most of the boys preach, most of the boys will teach classes in the church, or at least they'll preach in the church there. Interestingly, there's this couple here, Gerson and Edna. He's one of the four full-time evangelists in Brazil. He moved up there in the year 2000 to help with that new work, and they had a radio program where they were sandwiched between the Baptists and the Pentecostals, and they would deal with all the things that were taught by the Baptists and the Pentecostals, which were not live, and this was a live television program, and they became notorious in that town, so much so that the pastors of these churches banned them from their members from listening to their radio program. So I don't think that radio program is still going on now, but as time went on, more people were converted, and that church has grown and done fairly well. At least five of those young people, this was kind of encouraging, at least five of these young people are going to college, or starting college, and they'll be moving to a small town nearby, about 2 hours away, called Conquista. And so that will open the possibility for a new church in that town. It will test their faith to see if they're going to be able to be faithful to the Lord and meet faithfully and still do their, you know, be a part of the college there. But it's close enough that that parents can go and visit them occasionally, and Jerison and Edna can go, or Jerison can go and work in that town as well. So, and this is the house I stayed in when I was there with him. So that's sort of the article that put in a couple of weeks ago by Mateus is his son, who wrote that article. Broadening just a little bit the story, the bulletins were exceptionally effective. Again, a lot of times these bulletins somehow made it into some of these states, and we don't know how they got there. But people would request them, since the internet has been so effective, whenever Dennis will announce that he's going to be he's going to go to this city to do some studies, this would be like on the website, he would announce that he's coming. He would have like sometime 20 to 30 to 40 people that were just waiting to hear him teach that we'd never met personally. And a lot of these people were pretty much taught. I mean, a lot of them were almost ready to be baptized, just a few questions, details that needed to be worked out. So in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, there's been lots of baptisms and lots of new churches that started as a result of some of the successful work that he's done. This is in the state of Minas Gerais in Ipatinga. This family, it's largely a church that's made of one family. And the man that I've been studying with in Boston is the brother of this gentleman here that was converted, that the contact was passed on to me. And so we've been able to do some studying over the last year up here. Again, it just been a lot of new opportunities. When I went back to São Paulo, I spent the last part of my trip, well, 7th through 12, June 7th through the 12th, in Vargem Grande, the place where we worshipped, and with a lot of these families here that were part of the church there. I really wish I had time to talk about all of these people. Very interesting, and the church there has an uphill battle, especially with the challenges of sickness. The family here, this little boy here has had leukemia 2 times now. He's gone through treatments twice and has survived it, Fernando. And even in the midst of all of that, these are new Christians. They were converted the year that I got there. They have grown, and Edivaldo teaches and preaches, and a very diligent family. I'm praying that Felipe, who also is about 15 now, will be baptized soon. He's an excellent young man. and just an encouragement to be around. This family here, Jonas and Becca and their boys, this little boy is only 2. He had testicular cancer only a year after he was born, and his father is recovering from tuberculosis. This congregation's just been plagued with a lot of heavy things in terms of physical challenges. And so it's been an uphill battle for them the last couple of 3 years. But it's that's the church that we worshiped with and were members of when we were there. So I spent a couple of days in that town doing studies with people, and was encouraged by them. The last Sunday of my trip, I went to a little town called Mojimarin, which is 2 hours north of São Paulo. And went up there with this man here, José Antonio, who's another one of the 4 evangelists in Brazil that's supported to do full-time evangelism. And we stayed just that day. We went up to worship with these two couples, these two families, Edaraldo and Jussi and their daughter Karina, and Sergio and his wife, his name is Valkyria, and their children. Tough work, difficult place. 2 families, isolated, they make no money. They don't make money sufficient enough to drive to São Paulo to be with strong brethren, so they are pretty isolated in this little town. And occasionally, José Antonio would go out and help them and preach once every 2 months. And we would go out every other month when he wasn't there and work with the church there. Very hard situation. Valkyria has fallen away. And the church sort of meets in their house. So that's an uncomfortable situation. And Sergio, she did sit in on the Bible study. She did sit in during the sermon that day and listened as we studied. But very uncomfortable. But we spent the day together and did studies in that town as well. I wish I had time to talk about more people. There's just so many. This is the last full-time evangelist. His name is João Batista, John the Baptist, and he worked in São Paulo at the Parque San Antonio Church. But when the gospel made it into the city of Fortaleza, which is up top up there in the city in the state of Ceará, he and his wife moved up to that state to help the spread of the gospel in that state. And there's 3 churches now, 3 groups that are meeting up there. So really encouraging. There's only, again, 4 men really who do the full-time evangelism, but as I've tried to mention, as I've looked at these churches, in most of these churches all of the men teach and all of the men preach. They're not dependent upon an evangelist, which is very encouraging, because that gives him the freedom to do evangelism and to go out and study with others as well. Well, just for the last couple of minutes, that's kind of where the end of my what I'm going to tell you about my study down there, my time down there. I left São Paulo on the 16th. I want to read a passage to you from Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Just talk about some of our opportunities and our obligations as well. Isaiah has a lot of long chapters and complicated things in it, but this is an encouraging chapter. Short, 6 verses. I want you to think about it for a minute. He says, "Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord. For although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou dost comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust not and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." He starts by expressing thanks to God for salvation that God has given. But then he says that we joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. That's a lot of salvation. And you can just get buckets full of salvation that springs forth from God. But it's not just enjoying the salvation that this chapter speaks about. If you look in verse 4, he says, "And in that day you will say, give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion. for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Do you see the emphasis in this? We give thanks to the salvation that we've received. But the thing that we do is we make His deeds known to everyone in every place. It's like someone does some great service for you and rescues you from some terrible plight by great personal cost, and you just want to tell everybody so that everybody can thank them and praise them and let them know how good they are. When we really experience the bucketfuls of salvation that the Lord has for us to enjoy, that spring forth from Him, we don't keep it quiet. We shouldn't keep it quiet. We tell everyone that we know. We are eager to declare God. We are eager to tell people about His will and the works that He has done. You know, one thing that always has impressed me about the Brazilian Christians is that they may not always get attending down perfectly well, but most of them will teach the gospel to their neighbors and to their friends. And that's one thing, for them, that's the one thing that you obviously do if you're a Christian. The other things may be a little more difficult, and some of the character maturity things take time, but the very thing that's obvious that you do if you're a Christian is you go and tell everybody else what God has done for you. That's what I see happening there. We need to do that too. And I know that things are different here in the United States than they are in Brazil. No question about that. We've tried that a bit and we've not received the results that we've hoped for. But you know what? That really doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter if we don't get the results that we hope for. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, you tell everybody anyway, regardless of whether they accept what you say or not. I'm always impressed with Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, because they were told up front they were not going to get good results. And they went and they taught people who didn't care what they had to say for over 40 years. And they told them the message even when until nobody else was left to hear it. And that's what we need to do. You know, it may not be anybody left in Groton that'll hear the gospel, or in Tingsboro, or in Hudson, or in Nashua, or in Chelmsford. But you know what? We tell people anyway because that's what's right. And we bring glory to God when we spread the news of the Lord and what He's done. And I'm impressed always when, you know, just when we read the book of Acts. And when, you know, persecution came to Jerusalem, all these ordinary Christians went different places. And what did they do when they went places? They just talked to people about what Jesus had done for them and how He had changed their lives. And we need to tell the gospel to everybody everywhere about the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy to teach other men who would teach others also the message. And so if you're a faithful Christian, you just tell everybody around you about Him. That's just as fundamental, really, as the steps of salvation. We can talk about those all day. But just as fundamental to that is the charge to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We need to have more of a focus on our worldwide mission. I really have appreciated the church here and the interest that we have in New England. There's certainly a need, a desperate need, for more Christians in New England. I mean, one church in, you know, Rhode Island, one in Connecticut, one in, you know, Massachusetts, maybe two. Maybe one or two in Vermont, none in New Hampshire that I know of that does what is right. And there's a lot of need in the New England area. And so we need to look in this area, and we need to broaden our focus to New England and see what we can do in this area. But we also need to look even beyond that to the world as well. We've got to see that it is our job to get the gospel everywhere in our generation. Not everybody can go to Brazil. And that's understandable. But some people could, and I'd like to say that for a minute. I want you to think about that. There are some people who could do that, and probably some right here in this congregation who could do that. Some younger people maybe who need to grow in Christ and study the Bible and prepare themselves and mature and plan to go. Some people need to be thinking about picking a country. Where are you going to go to take the gospel in your generation? What do you want to do in 5 years? What do you want to do in 10 years from now? Or what language are you going to learn? Are you going to extend yourself to learn in order to take the gospel so you can communicate with them? You know, one thing about being a Christian is whether you talk about lost people around here or lost people across the seas, That is what our focus and our goal is. I want to tell you, too much of our energy and our goals are set on carnal things. We think about what we're going to be professionally, but what are we going to be for the Lord in our lives? We have a mission. As a Christian, God did not call us just to be happy in nice churches, doing nice things with nice families and having a nice life. God called us to challenge ourselves to do the work of spreading His word across the world. Sometimes when we have nice churches like this, where it's really encouraging to be with good leadership and fine brethren and stimulating stimulating worship, we get where we're kind of content with ourselves. And we're doing good. We've got a nice group here. We're full, and that's great. But, you know, there's still a lost world. And if Jesus came here, Jesus would say, look upon the world, because it is white for harvest. And there are a bunch of sheep out there who have no shepherd. And until those sheep have a shepherd and those fields have been reaped, we should not allow ourselves to be content. We must press ourselves, we must push ourselves to spread the gospel everywhere and to everyone we meet. There are a lot of things that we can be barriers to us, but we need to overcome those barriers and do the work that Jesus gave us to do. It wasn't easy for Him to come here and die on the cross, and it's not going to be easy for us if we assume the role that we need to go and preach the gospel. And that's not just for people who are going to be evangelists, full-time evangelists. That's for individual Christians. All of these opportunities we have, take advantage of those and to do what God called us to do, to share the gospel. This morning, maybe there are some who have not obeyed the gospel and they're thinking about that. There are some that maybe have been thinking and studying, and maybe this is the opportunity for you to make a decision to follow Jesus and to choose to change your will. This morning, we'd invite you to take advantage of this opportunity while we stand and sing our song that's been announced.